WRCR 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There are more than 289,000 power outages across the country, largely a result of the massive storm system that continues to pose a threat to millions of people. There are tornado watches in Georgia and the Carolinas. ABC meteorologist Ginger Z says
the tornado outbreak sprawling across the South. Power flashing in Louisiana, winds in excess of 80 miles per hour. This morning, more than 200,000 customers without power across the storm-battered states. In Arkansas, an EF3 tornado wrecking parts of Cave City. Winds up to 165 miles per hour.
And there are more than 30 deaths. An Iranian Revolutionary Guard commander warned of a decisive and devastating response to any threat that's acted on. That's after the U.S. struck Iranian-backed Houthi militia targets in Yemen. The death toll from the nightclub fire and stampede in North Macedonia has now climbed to at least 59 people. This is ABC News. New details about the death and timing of the death of Gene Hackman's wife, Betsy Arakawa. ABC's Zareen Shah has details.
Officials initially believe she may have passed away as early as February 11th, but we now know she was alive on the 12th. Authorities telling ABC News exclusively that Hackman's wife called a concierge medical service called Cloudberry. A Cloudberry spokesperson saying she was not a patient of the service, but called on the 12th to inquire about what they described as an esoteric treatment, adding that the caller did not display any signs of acute distress. The spokesperson says they called her back twice to follow up, but did not reach her.
Betsy Arakawa died of a rare condition transmitted by rodent feces. Gene Hackman died days later of heart disease with Alzheimer's, a contributing factor. Today, one of the most stressful TV shows of the year for college basketball fans when the 68-team fields for the NCAA basketball men's and women's tournaments will be announced. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
WRCO Weather is sponsored by Richland County Bank. Learn more at richlandcountybank.com.
Good morning, this is meteorologist Tony Schumacher on WRCO with your weather updates. Well, we're watching a band of snow sweep up through Illinois into southeast Wisconsin this morning. Looks like it will just miss our area. Meanwhile, some drier air will punch in from the northwest and bring us some sunshine gradually, but temperatures will stay seasonably cool. However, some much warmer air will be building in tomorrow and Tuesday as south winds return to the region. Should be some delightful early spring-like weather. Meanwhile, a new storm system will be building across Kansas and Nebraska by Tuesday night, sliding through southern Wisconsin Wednesday. This will bring us some rain initially, could see a quarter to a half inch of rain Wednesday morning, turning over to wet heavy snow in the afternoon, and we're likely to pick up several inches of snow accumulation. That coupled with high winds and dropping temperatures could make for a real slushy, sloppy mess. Where it's just a bit colder, the snowfall could be heavier, in fact could be up to 8 or 10 inches, it looks like, from southeast Minnesota through northeast Wisconsin. Here's that forecast for today. Cloudy this morning, more sun this afternoon, breezy and cool with high temperatures near 40, northwest wind 10 to 20, clear to partly cloudy tonight on the cool side, low at 22. Tomorrow, lots of sunshine, breezy and much warmer with a high of 57, southeast to south wind close to 20. On Tuesday, partly cloudy and balmy, should be the warmest day of the week, low 39 with a high of 66. Wednesday, rain through midday, turning to wet snow by afternoon. Right now, looks like about 2 to 5 inches of snow possible before ending in the evening. Windy as well, low in the upper 30s with highs in the mid-40s and then falling later. Thursday, partly cloudy, breezy and chilly, low 22 with a high of 40. Friday, increasing clouds, high 46. A chance of some light rain and snow coming in late Friday into early Saturday. You have yourself a good morning. This is meteorologist Tony Schumacher on WRCO.
Richland County Bank is a community bank. Why is that important to you? Community banks tend to base their lending decisions on local knowledge gained through long-time relationships with families, farms, and businesses. A community bank's deposits are primarily local, and the bank's loans are to local people and businesses. A community bank's assets are a real asset to the local community where new businesses, students, and entrepreneurs of all types have a voice that is heard and appreciated. Since 1881, the Richland County Bank has provided people in the area with quality banking service. It's It's local people serving local people. It's local people and their community bank working together for the good of the community today and the community's well-being tomorrow. It's what "where others have their branches, we have our roots" really means. Learn how Richland County Bank can be the community partner you're looking for at richlandcountybank.com or by calling 608-647-6306. Richland County Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a partly cloudy 24 degrees, and that is our low so far for the day. Yesterday, we had a high of 53, and we also saw 0.05 of an inch of rain. Record high for this day, 79, set back in 2012, while a record low of 8 below was set back in 1870. Last year on this day, our high was 50, our low 38. Sunset today will be at 7:09, sunrise tomorrow at 7:11. No precipitation yet today. The barometer is at 30.38 as it continues to rise, and northeast winds are at 7. Again, it's 24 degrees.
WRCO weather is sponsored by Richland County Bank. Learn more at richlandcountybank.com.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning, WRCO News Today, sponsored by Capital Wealth Advisory Group, the Philback family of dealerships, and Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such.
Hello, friends. Ellie here from Chet's. Are you looking for a place to get feed for all of your furry friends? Well, look no further. At Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, we have premium feeds for cattle, hogs, horses, sheep, and even rabbits. We carry many of the best brands to keep your animals happy and healthy. We also have chicken, feed, and scratch. But don't worry, we still have our huge selection of premium cat and dog foods as well. Chet's is your one-stop shop for all of your animal feed needs. Stop down and chat with us today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 608-647-8833. Without you, there wouldn't be us.
Good morning for WRCO News. I'm Bo Henricks. The Department of Workforce Development announced $468,255 in grants to 17 businesses and organizations in 13 counties across the state to increase the number of people with a commercial driver license in Wisconsin. The Commercial Driver Training Grant Program helps grantees develop innovative local and regional solutions that meet workforce development needs for this in-demand occupation. These grants, administered by DWD's Office of Skills Development, will help Wisconsin-based business and organizations deliver CDL training to 260 people. The Commercial Driver Training Program aims to boost the number of CDL license holders in Wisconsin, provide trainees with jobs that provide a sustainable wage, and meet demands for one of the state's in-demand occupations. There are currently more than 500 job postings on the Job Center of Wisconsin website, and about 6,000 of these positions are posted annually. The annual median wage for heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers is $50,110, according to Wisconomy.com. The program reimburses the cost of training students for a CDL with awards of $10,000 and $30,000 and can be used to offset 50% of the training cost for each trainee, or $3,000, whichever's less. The $468,255 in CDL grant awards to support training include Frank Beverage Group in Dane County, $30,000 to train 10 people in Class A CDL to meet the demands of its operations in 19 counties. Kickapoo Valley CDL Training LLC in Vernon County, $30,000 for Class A CDL training for 24 people. And Skinner Driven CDL Commercial Training LLC in Sauk County, $27,500 to provide CDL Class A, B, and Hazmat training to 10 people. The Ithaca Lions Club is hosting a pancake breakfast and silent auction fundraiser today from now until 12:30 at the Ithaca High School Commons. The cost, $10 for adults, $5 for students, and free for preschoolers, with proceeds from the breakfast benefiting Craig Perkins for medical expenses due to a kidney transplant and autoimmune disorder. The Community Players presentation of Escanaba into Moonlight hits the stage this weekend at the Richland Center City Auditorium, and today will be the final performance. The play by Jeff Daniels of Dumb and Dumber fame brings the quirky world of Michigan's Upper Peninsula to the stage. The story is told by the family patriarch, Albert Sody. It's the night before deer season, and he and his sons gather to do things they and thousands of other hunters do every year before the hunt: drink beer, eat their favorite foods, play euchre, and brag about who shot the biggest buck last year. But son Reuben has a problem. He's never bagged a buck, and if he doesn't this year, he'll go down in camp history as the oldest Sody to never get one. His efforts to change his luck lead to one hilarious situation after another. The final performance of Escanaba into Moonlight will take place this afternoon at 2 at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Tickets are priced at $10 and will be sold at the door. A number of key deadlines are approaching for eligible Wisconsin voters seeking to participate in the April 1st spring election. Starting Tuesday, 2 weeks before Election Day, clerks can begin to issue in-person absentee ballots at the clerk's office or at other designated locations. The in-person absentee voting process involves a voter booth requesting a ballot and completing that ballot on the same trip to the clerk's office or designated location. When a voter requests an absentee ballot in their municipal clerk's office or another designated location, they will complete their ballot immediately, seal the ballot in the proper envelope, and return it to the member of the clerk's staff. No IPAV ballots may be taken out of the voting site. Voters need to show an acceptable photo ID before voting an in-person absentee ballot. According to state law, clerks can make in-person absentee voting available through Sunday, March 30th. Municipalities are not required to offer IPAV through March 30th, but they cannot offer it beyond that date. Meanwhile, Thursday, March 27th is the last day for most voters to request an absentee ballot for the April 1st spring election. In practical terms, though, the deadline results in an unrealistic time frame for the voter to receive the ballot, complete it, and return it to their clerk by Election Day. This means registered voters who still wish to request an absentee ballot by mail should act quickly. Registered voters can make their request online at myvote.wi.gov. Megan Wolf, an administrator of the WEC and the state's chief election official, pointed out that ballots must be returned to the local clerk by 8 p.m. on election day to be counted, and that U.S. Postal Service advises that local mailings can take up to 7 days to arrive. Lastly, would-be voters who are not yet registered can do so in their clerk's office or other designated locations until 5 Friday evening, March 28th. The deadline is passed for voters seeking to register through their mail or online, but in-person registration is available, again, through March 28th. Finally, voters may also register in person at their polling place on Election Day. The WEC has received recent reports from concerned voters and local election officials regarding unsolicited communications from third-party groups that may provide inaccurate or misleading information about the upcoming election. In at least one case, an incorrect date was used for the April 1st spring election. Voters should be cautious about any unofficial voting-related communications, including text messages, emails, mailers, phone calls, robocalls, postcards, and more from unfamiliar sources. Sometimes these misleading communications even appear to mimic communications from an official government source. They often use outdated, incomplete, or simply inaccurate data that they communicate to voters. When it comes to voting information, Wisconsinites should rely on official sources, such as the WEC's official myvote.wi.gov website. There, voters can check their registration status, review their voter history, and find their polling place, review their sample ballot, request an absentee ballot, track that ballot, or learn about in-person absentee voting options. Voters can also contact their municipal clerk, who can confirm a voter's registration status and answer any questions a voter may have in advance of the April 1st spring election. Voters can find their clerk's contact information on the myvote.wi.gov website. The River Valley School District will be asking voters for tax funding to maintain its current educational programs, class sizes, services, and co-curricular activities on the April 1st ballot. Voters will be asked if the River Valley School District should be authorized to exceed the revenue limit by 4 $4,150,000 for the 2025-26 school year, by $4,750,000 for the 2026-27 school year, and by $5.2 million for the 2027-28 school year for non-recurring purposes consisting of paying the cost of maintaining educational programs and maintenance of the district. The district does not plan to add new positions or programs with these referendum dollars. These funds are not for new buildings or facilities. The board's decision to close the school building in Plain and reconfigure all grade levels in the remaining three buildings resulted in the cost saving of more than $1 million due to reductions in annual expenditures and staffing. This subsequently lowered the deficit amount and the referendum amount. A community referendum information session will be held to allow voters to get information firsthand and to ask questions on Tuesday, March 18th at 5:30 at the middle school library. For more information or questions, you can reach out to the River Valley District Administrator Lauren Glassbrenner or Business Manager Brian Cray. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
A well-traveled and jack-of-many-trades, D.W. Bear. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to Genealogy Trail's biographies, the source is the history of Crawford and Richland counties, illustrated in 1881 and transcribed by Mary Saggio. D.W. Bear started a blacksmith shop near Rodolph's Mill in 1876. At that time, he erected a building that measured 20 by 31 feet. Since that year, he has built on several additions until now he has quite an extensive shop. Horseshoeing at first formed a considerable part of his business, but it has since been given to that branch and attends to a general repair of work on all branches in wood and iron, and he manufactures buggies. His shop is furnished with all the tools and machinery for this class of work. In 1883, he added to his business a stock of hardware and later a stock of groceries. He was born in the part of Marion now known as Richland County, Ohio, April 9, 1848. When he was but just an infant, his parents emigrated to Wisconsin and located near Spring Green in Sauk County. The subject of this sketch lived with his mother until age 11. Then he returned to Ohio and made his home with his uncle for 3 years, and then returned to Spring Green and engaged with a brother-in-law in carpentry for a short time. Then, the 2 years following, he was engaged in farming. He enlisted in February of 1865 in the 47th Wisconsin Company E and went south and served until the following October. Then he returned home and, in company with his sister, opened a photograph gallery in Richland Center. A few months later, he embarked in the same business in Muscadet, where he continued his work for just a few months. Then he went back to Spring Green and engaged in a harness shop, where he worked for 1 year. Then he went to Prairie du Sac and engaged in what was the blacksmith trade, where he worked at that for 3 years. Then he came to Richland County and opened a shop in Ithaca, remaining there until 1875, when he went to Richland Center and worked as a journeyman for some time. He then opened up a shop and remained there until he moved to the town of Eagle. It was in 1876 that he erected a neat cottage house, which he still has to make several additions to. And now it's a pleasant home. He and his wife are members of the Pleasant Hill Presbyterian Church, in which he is a church elder. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering Wendell Wilkie at RCHS, March 1944.
Today's History Moment is a service of the Richland County Historical Society. Members of the Historical Society enjoy reminiscing with the Achy Breaky newsletter. A strong membership base keeps the Historical Society viable and active by promoting the study and appreciation of local history, the sponsorship of programs devoted to local history, and the maintenance and access to the Achy School Museum. Annual memberships are just $10 for an individual or family, $20 for a business, or $100 for a lifetime individual or family membership. Memberships can be mailed to Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment Number 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. You can also learn more at richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com.
At Capital Wealth Advisory Group, our advisors take a client-focused approach to customize strategies that fit your lifestyle and goals. So, while you do what you love, you know you are preparing for the future. Capital Wealth Advisory Group. Discover the one-to-one relationship you deserve. For more information, visit CapitalWealthCares.com. Capital Wealth Advisory Group is a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC. Ameriprise Financial cannot guarantee future financial results.
Today is Sunday, March 16th. Dorothy A. Baker, 92 of Arena, died March 10th at St. Mary's Hospital in Madison. Funeral services will be held Wednesday at 11 at the Richardson Stafford Funeral Home in Spring Green. Burial will be in the Arena Cemetery. Friends may call at the Richardson Stafford Funeral Home on Tuesday from 4 to 7 and again on Wednesday from 10 until the time of service at 11. Dorothy A. Baker, 92 of Arena. David Franklin Spiegel, 89 of Muscadet, died on March 7th at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital in Madison. Funeral services will be held on Wednesday at 11 at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Muscadet. Military rites will be conducted by the Muscadet American Legion Post. Burial will be held in St. John's Catholic Cemetery at a later date. Friends may call at St. John's Gym on Wednesday from 10 until 10:45, when a rosary will be prayed before the procession to the church for the Mass and service at 11. Memorials may be directed to the Bluebird Restoration Association of Wisconsin, of the Muscadet, or the Muscadet Sportsmen's League. The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service is assisting the family with arrangements. For David Franklin Spiegel, 89 of Muscadet. Mary L. Ostrander, 72 of Boscobel, died on March 12th. A celebration of life will be held on Friday at 11 at the Kendall Funeral Service in Boscobel. Burial will be in the Blue River Cemetery. Friends may call at the Kendall Funeral Home on Friday from 9 until the time of service at 11. Mary L. Ostrander, 72 of Boscobel. Robert James Wieland, 88 of Cazenovia, formerly of Racine, died February 25th at home. A memorial service will be held on Saturday at noon at the Wilson Funeral Home in Racine. Burial with military honors will take place at West Lawn Memorial Park. Friends may call at the Wilson Funeral Home on Saturday from 11 until the time of service at noon. Memorials may be made to the River Valley Veterinary Clinic in Reedsburg to assist the individuals in caring for their pets. Robert James Wieland, 88 of Cazenovia, formerly of Racine. Magdalene M. Maggie Lomasny, 85 of Plain, died March 7th in Grand Rapids, Michigan. A funeral mass will be held on Tuesday, March 25th at 11 at St. Luke's Catholic Church in Plain. Burial will be in the church cemetery. Friends may call at the church on Tuesday, March 25th from 9 until the time of mass at 11. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to St. Luke's School Endowment. The Richardson Stafford Funeral Home in Spring Green is assisting the family with arrangements for Magdalene M. Maggie Lomasny, 85 of Plain. Carrie Lee Felton, 59 of Richland Center, died March 13th at Gunderson Health System in La Crosse. A celebration of life with a time of sharing will be on Saturday, April 26th from 1 to 4 at Lonesome Dove in Boscobel, or in Boaz. A private burial will be held at a later date at Mount Tabor Cemetery in Sabin. In lieu of flowers, memorials to Mount Tabor Cemetery are preferred. The Clary Memorial Funeral Home in Richland Center assisted the family with arrangements for Carrie Lee Felton, 59 of Richland Center. Gary L. Dobbs, 75 of Boaz, died March 13th at Schmidt Woodland Hills following a battle with cancer. A private celebration of life will be held at a later date. The Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service is assisting the family with arrangements for Gary L. Dobbs, 75 of Boaz.
Mark Philbeck here from the Philbeck Family Dealerships. At Philbeck's, our team always has your back. We treat our customers like family, and family shouldn't have to put in extra work to drive home in the vehicle you deserve. That's why we make the car buying experience as easy as possible by working with you every step of the way until we reach a deal that works for you. Discover your dream car from our massive inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles. Plus, when you swap out your old vehicle for a nicer, newer ride, Philbeck's always finds you top value for your trade. And our lifetime powertrain warranty is there to provide peace of mind, ensuring your vehicle always stays in the family. Because someday, it might be theirs. Come visit us at any of our Philbeck locations in Highland, Richland Center, Boscobel, Prairie du Chien, or online at philbeck.com. Keep it in the family with Philbeck's, and remember, we've always got your back.
This morning's birthday and anniversary wishes are sponsored by The Shoebox, the leader in size, selection, fit, and price.
For years, you've relied on The Shoebox and Black Earth for selection, the right size, and that comfortable fit. Now you can save even more right across the street at The Bargain Box. You'll find great deals on athletic shoes, casual and dress shoes, and boots for everyone in the family at prices that'll knock your socks off. No problem, they sell socks too. Stop in today at The Bargain Box across the street from the original Shoebox on Highway 14 in Black Earth.
Sending out birthday wishes today on behalf of the Muscadet Blue River and Avoca Lions, happy birthday to Patty Behrens, Lynn Biba, Amy Elder, Amy Grimm, Jalen Jones, Kyle Menny, and Jamie Ottman. Happy birthday to all of you. Happy birthday as well today to Brad Wagner, Shelby Kleiss, Joseph Makovec, Don Biba, John Dobbs, and Gary Wirtz from the Richland Center Lions. Schmidt Woodland Hills would like to wish Margie Dosh a happy birthday. The Bloom City Town Crier wishes Stacy Alderman, Libby Parrish, Chris Service, Paul Sainsbury, and Brad Wagner a happy birthday. Also happy birthday today to Michelle Block Finn from the Little Willow Birthday Club. Our Richland Center Free Methodist Church wishes Paul Sainsbury and Stacy Alderman a happy birthday. Happy birthday to Libby Lynn from Bob and Heidi. Happy birthday to Dakota Linz today from Pat, Steve, and Mike. Have a great day. Birthday blessings going out to Jamie Ottman today from your Avoca United Methodist Church family. Happy birthday to Brady Shelton from the Shell Station Coffee Clutchers. Happy birthday to Amber Klingeman from Park Street Christian Church. Park Street also would like to wish Rose Klingeman a happy birthday today. To all of you celebrating your big day, be it a birthday or anniversary, we hope it's a great one from all of us at WRCO and from The Shoebox, where you receive service like it ought to be. WRCO's Morning Sports Today is sponsored by the WRCO Sports Boosters Club. TC Auto Works in Richland Center is your one-stop shop for vehicle sales and service. From oil changes to brakes, engine to transmission repair, they'll get you back on the road. Title Works provides accurate, efficient, and confidential real estate title services to the greater Richland County area and is proud to support our local youth. And WCCU Credit Union offers competitive savings rates and low-interest loans, helping you build a better life. Member NCUA. Good morning for WRCO Sports. I'm Bo Henricks. The 2025 State Girls High School Basketball Tournament has wrapped up as it was in Division 4, St. Mary Catholic taking the championship over, St. Mary Catholic defeated Durand, Arkansas in the first game of the day, 58-45, back on Thursday. And then yesterday, it was Cuba City who defeated St. Mary Catholic 53-50. Cuba City, the Division 4 champs. And in Division 5 in the championship game, it was Assumption defeating Barneville 34-30. The WIAA Boys Basketball High School Tournament continued on as Cochrane, Fountain City in Division 5 defeating Royal to move on to the championship game by a score of 53-41. In Division 4, Mineral Point moves on to the championship after defeating Marshall 80-44. In Division 3, it's Lake Mills moving on to the championship game after defeating Wisconsin Dells 73-31. And in Division 2, Wauwatosa West defeated Mount Horeb to move on to the championship by a score of 71-59. Also, John Tonch scored 32 points and grabbed 7 rebounds to help number 18 Wisconsin beat number 7 Michigan State 77-74 in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament. John Blackwell added 14 points as the 26-8 Badgers won for the third time in 4 days. They will be playing Michigan for the tournament title today. And you'll be able to hear that game on WRCE AM 1450 FM 107.7 coverage with pregame getting underway at 1:30 this afternoon. In NBA action, it was the Milwaukee Bucks taking down Indiana by a score of 126-119 yesterday. Also in college basketball, it was Duke defeating Louisville 73-62. Houston scored a 72-64 win over Arizona. Tennessee scored a 70-65 win over Auburn, while Florida took down Alabama 104-82. It was St. John's over Creighton 82-66, and Memphis defeated Tulane 78-77 in a narrow victory. For WRCO Sports, I'm Bo Henricks.
Court in Maine offers quality, affordable furniture, mattresses, home decor options for all styles. Stop in downtown Richland Center for in-stock items as well as customizable styles today. Wirtz Plumbing and Heating, your Trane heating and air conditioning system dealer, providing quality service and superior products. It's hard to stop a Trane. And WP Dental, providing modern dental care, helping create healthy, beautiful smiles Monday through Friday.
WRCO.
No. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Yeah. above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified and laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. There are more than 289,000 power outages across the country, largely a result of the massive storm system that continues to pose a threat to millions of people. There are tornado watches in Georgia and the Carolinas. ABC meteorologist Ginger Z says
the tornado outbreak sprawling across the South. Power flashing in Louisiana, winds in excess of 80 miles per hour.